There are two people that have the greatest influence in my life. And that is my dad and my mom. Last year was a very special year for my parents. My folks celebrated their 80th birthday, and also it was my parents' 60th anniversary. So my sibling and I, we got together and we threw a very big banquet, a big party for my parents. Invite all relatives, all of their friends, and we all came. And one of the highlights that we had as kids were being able to say words of appreciation to my dad, to our dad, and to our mother. And as I was writing and reminiscing how they have influenced me, I came to a clear understanding that a lot of who I am, a lot of my identity, a lot of my values were taught and influenced by my parents. My dad was a very good athlete as he was growing up, and he was a very dedicated and responsible individual. He's a very disciplined and a very friendly person. My mom, she was a very thrifty individual who was very caring and very organized, kind of meticulous about things and analytical, a very giving individual. And as I grew up, I just learned so much from them. By not only what they say, but also by what they do. That they have instilled so much in my life of who I am, my identity, is because of who they are. And I'm sure that your parents probably have had tremendous amount of influence in your life. And that you have learned much from them, and sometimes it might be positive qualities and sometimes it might not be as positive. But we are shaped in many ways by our parents, by our culture also, as well as by our society. See, our identity is connected many times to our self-worth or self-image or significance. And many times we feel that we need to be accepted by our parents, by our culture, by our society. And if they accept me, then I am valued, then I'm important, then my identity is wrapped up around that. You know, within our home, there are various sheer beliefs that we have, certain sheer values that we have. We uphold to that. We understand what that is within our home. And those values influence who we are. As we go a little further out, our culture, whether it might be our Chinese culture or American culture, it influences us because we hold a particular sheer belief, sheer values that we hold and what is acceptable within our culture. And they influence who we are. And in a little bigger sense, our society, each society a little bit different. Our society, they have certain sheer beliefs and sheer values that we uphold, and they influence our life. You see, these three group, our parents, our culture, our society, they help us form a particular grid in our mind, our system, where we analyze, where we make decisions upon. Run through this. What is acceptable to my parents? What is acceptable in my culture and society? If that's acceptable, then it's okay for me to behave this way, for me to feel this way. If it's not, then I don't do it. So we have a particular grid that we form in our mind, that we filter through as we think about what we should do or not do. And that starts when we are in a very young age, and sometimes subconsciously, we see things happen and we do it, and we just do it automatically because that's just how it's been done at home. And it influences us as to who we are. It shapes us. We know how our parents mold and shape us. And this morning, I'd like to focus a little bit more concerned about our culture. Whether we know or not, it does shape us. It does mold us as to who we are. I'm greatly influenced by our Chinese culture. But yet at the same time, I'm also very influenced by the American Western culture. Both the Eastern and Western has a part of me. And my identity is molded by both of these cultures. And you know, I'm very proud to be a Chinese. And among Chinese, there are certain perceptions that people have about Chinese people. In general. There are those guys that, you know, raise the bar in our classes and, you know, curve everything up, you know, they mess things up. I hope I don't have too many Chinese in my class. Well, there's a certain perception that they're diligent workers. They're hard workers. In a company, if they're Chinese, applying, they automatically have a little, you know, advantage to the car. And not only that, those Chinese, they don't complain very much. And not only that, they don't, if things go wrong, they don't confront me and tell me about things. You know, that's good. We like those kind of people. Those Chinese people also recognize that respect is very critical for them. Respect to elders. Respect to authorities. And those Chinese people, they love to hang around with Chinese somehow. They love to eat. They just love doing that. There's just something about that. I was, Ellen and I were invited to a baby shower yesterday, and boy, did we have a feast. And the dishes were coming rapidly. You know, we couldn't just pile it up into our plates and eat fast enough because the next place comes. Boy, and the next thing we knew, the whole table was filled with dishes. You know, and we didn't quite finish with all the stuff on the dishes yet, you know. And the waiter came over and said, in this one plate that had, you know, shrimp in it and all this, and there were two left, you know. And he says, well, are you guys done? And right after he said that, three of us simultaneously said, oh, no. Not yet. There's two of them over there. We don't want to go to waste, you know, that. And you see, that's sort of Chinese, you know what I mean? I go, that's Chinese. I was one of the three. No. And you know, not only am I proud to be a Chinese, I'm also very proud to be an American. Grew up here to the United States. Yet among Americans, there's also certain perceptions. Most of us that grew up here. Certain characteristics, a certain stereotype in general, again, they're true. Those Americans or those ABCs, American-born Chinese, they tend to be more independent. You know, they want to do their own thing. They don't need to be dependent upon anybody. They like to make their own decisions. That's good. You know, as Americans, as well as ABCs, they sometimes are very free to speak up what they think and believe. That's good. And also, various Americans or ABCs tend to be more transparent, more open. I'm open to talk about things that are happening in their lives. Well, yeah, that's good too. They tend to like to take more initiative, more assertive. You know, Western culture. That's good too. You know, these various distinctions of Americans. And there's some wonderful qualities as we look at the Eastern culture, the Chinese culture, as well as there's some wonderful qualities within the Western culture, the Americans. And to a certain degree, we have a little bit of both that is within us. But if we take a little closer look at those two cultures, we also find that there's a lot of clashes between the East and the West as to how they think, how they decide, how they behave and feel and so forth. And that's a whole message in itself, which I'm not going to go into today. But I'd like to mention something else. Sometimes we don't think as much. Not only are there clashes within the culture of East and West, but even more important, there is a clash between culture and what God has to say. Or Chinese or worldly culture versus what God has to say in His Word. And sometimes, various times, they conflict with one another. Yes, there are positive qualities and traits within both the Chinese and American culture, and that's great, and they complement what Scripture has to say, but you know, there are various things, various negative traits within both of these cultures that conflicts with what Scripture has to say. And sometimes, when they are in conflict with one another, we tend to choose what we're brought up, what we're used to. What Dan and Mom might say, or culture might say, or to a certain degree, maybe our society might say, is that, well, you know, because we've been sort of brainwashed in a way to behave and think a particular way, you see? And sometimes even after we become a Christian, yet those habits that we have, certain way of thinking, it's still there. And when there's a clash, sometimes we choose against what Scripture might say. Although we claim to be a Christian, although we profess that we are a follower of Christ, but yet somehow there is this tension that's going on. We find within each culture there's not only positive traits, but also that there are negative. Chinese people pursue excellence, right? Want excellence. But sometimes they're just not realistic in what they choose as standards. And sometimes they just push us too hard. Is that right? They sometimes push us a little too hard. Sometimes they just push us too hard. And you know those Chinese people, they are thrifty. Boy, they are cheap. But sometimes they go to extreme ways of saving some funds. Extreme. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, Chinese people, as I mentioned earlier, they don't like to confront. That causes all kind of problems there. What kind of problems? They sort of sweep it underneath. They sort of, you know, they don't want to tell you directly, so they tell a third party who tells somebody else, and it comes around over here to you, you know, and you go, what do you tell me? As I said, Chinese people are very proud people. Because they're so proud, a lot of Chinese people are very prejudiced. They kind of look down on other people. I'm Chinese, man. You're not as good as me. That's not good. We talked about respect earlier. And it's great. We ought to respect our elderly, those in our authority. But sometimes, unfortunately, the elderly don't respect what the younger one has to say. Well, when you get to 65, I'll listen to you. You know. And actually, as we take a look at a different cultural influence that we have, this positive and negative, and various negative traits are in conflict with biblical principle. Americans teach us individualism. Well, yeah, it's good in a certain degree, but sometimes it pushes them to be very, very selfish, only thinking about themselves and what's good for me and not really concerned about what other people have to say or what other people have to think or feel. ABC sometimes are accused of being too direct, speak their mind without thinking through things. Yes, we are to be able to speak, but sometimes you could create problem if we are not sensitive to others. Americans are very pragmatic, and that's great, but sometimes too pragmatic could mean insensitivity to how it might affect other people. And sometimes it could be overbearing to other people. ABCs take initiatives, aggressive, it's good, but sometimes they're so aggressive that they don't listen to other people. And we find that these things are contrary to biblical principle. You know, before we became a Christian, our identity, to a various time we connect our self-worth, our significance is tied into our culture. See, what is acceptable to my parents? What is acceptable to my culture? Then I am accepted. And I need to do these things. It might be good, but it could also be not so good. It could be conflicting with what Scripture has to say. And various times before we make a decision, we ask the question, well, if I do this, will I be more approved and valued by my parents, by my culture, the people that I hang out with? And we base on how we answer that question and how we behave. And that's a grid that we establish. And sometimes it is against what Scripture has to say. Instead, we need to ask, well, how does this activity, this behavior, how would God think? Is it, am I going to be approved by God? Will God be shamed by this? Those are the questions that we need to ask. You see, we are not called. We're not called. Listen to this. We're not called to be Chinese or Americans, or even Chinese-American. We're called to be Christians. Christian first. A child of God. And we should be mighty, mighty proud of that more than even our culture. Yes, our culture is important. But we're God's children. We uphold to God's biblical perspective. I'd like us to turn quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14. We've been talking a lot. I spent a lot of time talking about culture. Set us all up. Instead of being shaped by our culture, we are to be shaped by Christ. Instead of yielding to our culture, we are to be counterculture. Counterculture, because a lot of things that, a lot of teachings and principles that Christ teaches us is totally opposite of what our culture or our society might say. Verse 14. It says, for Christ's love compel us, because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all dying. As I said earlier, our identity is shaped by our culture, both Eastern as well as Western cultures. That is what I call our old nature, old being, before we became a Christian. Many of us are controlled by those teachings of our culture as we grow up. And sometimes even after we become a Christian, that they still rule over our life instead of God's Word. And many times we are enslaved by various negative traits from our culture. I was talking to this Christian who wanted to get a little more involved. And I asked him concerning about just his commitment to God. And he was not very serious about the Lord. He thought that was just the right thing to do and he should get involved. And this person, you know, grew up in a church and knows all the right answers. Matter of fact, he could teach all the right things to everybody, but unfortunately, he has a little problem of following or being obedient to God's Word. And various times tend to be a little self-righteous. Look very good on the outside. He does all the right activities. But if we were to take a little closer look what's going on inside, it might not necessarily match up with what is going on the outside. And this person, because of his culture, is very obsessed in making money. There's nothing wrong with making money. It's when it takes over you and control you. And for this person, it controls him. Although he wants to follow after Jesus, but yet he really, because he embraced money, that becomes very difficult for him to do so. In his self-image, his significance is wrapped up in as to how much he makes. You know, as Christians, we are sinners too. And sin can enslave us. Our culture teaches that we are valuable, we're important if we have a lot of material goods. Our society might teach us that if we are going to be valued, we need to be popular. And that's what they teach us. And our culture teaches that we, in a certain way, I'll call it our church culture. Just because it's so-called church culture, that does not necessarily mean that it's necessarily coincide with God's Word. Sometimes within a church, sometimes people say, well, you know, if you just do the right thing, you know, come to church, go to Sunday school, and you know, sing in the choir, and if you get involved and serve, well, hey, man, you are spiritual. Matter of fact, and how many activities are you involved? The more you are, the more spiritual you are. That's sometimes a certain church culture. That's wrong. That's not biblical. Doing does not make us more spiritual. God's more interested in our being of who we are inside. We just read that Christ died for, and we identify with Him, and when He died, that He came to not only pay the penalty of our sins, but also set us free from the bondage of sin. Jesus says in John 8:34, it says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So the Son sets you free. You'll be free. Indeed. Also in Romans 6:1-2, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We are to understand what Christ has done on the cross for us. Yes, we have our old nature. And really that old nature is behind us because God has paid not only the penalty of sin, but He set us free from the bondage of these sins. And sometimes these habits that we learn from a culture could enslave us. And God said, you've really set free from it. You don't need to go back to that anymore. It's just like if an alcoholic has gone through treatment and he's clean and just, you know, feel really good and so forth, and then somebody offer him a drink, and you want to go back to that enslavement where it destroy his family, would destroy his career, or to be continue to be dry and be free. In the same way, although we're Christians, that does not mean that we don't sin anymore, but rather that, yes, we still have to make some important decisions. And yes, there's this culture and certain grit that we have learned through the years that influence us. And God says, no, you need to change your grit. You're a Christian. Oh, nature's is in the past. We embrace what God has already. We read in verse 14, it says that Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that the one died for all and therefore all die. See, that old nature of sin is behind us because Jesus has died on the cross. And when He died, we were there too. He took care of that burden. We set free from the penalty and bondage of sin. We need to realize, you know, today we're going to have communion in a few minutes. What that mean on the cross? May we think about it more. We are condemned for eternity. That's what we deserve. We deserve to go to hell forever. Condemned, separated from God. That's what we deserve. God set us free. Set us free. It should compel us. Compel us to want to follow after Him.
I feel that I'm the most fortunate man on earth because God's blessed me with a tremendous wife who loves me, who cares for me, who helps me, who encourages me, prays for me. She listens to me. She corrects me when I go off track. She accepts me. She values me. Because of her love for me, compels me to want to love her back. Compels me to want to make sacrifices. Because I feel I owe her that. And the Apostle Paul is saying, do we feel the same? We compel because of Christ's love for us, that we respond to Him accordingly. That He volunteered, Jesus Christ gave up heaven above to become a man. For what purpose? He comes here to be mocked, to be spit at, to be cursed at, to be beaten, and then to be crucified. For what? For you and me, so that we can have newness of life, so that our old nature will no longer control us. In verse 15, it says, in 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says, and He died for all, then those who live, that's us, shall no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and raised again. In verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. See, that old identity, which influenced us by our culture, our society is behind us. Or self-image or significance should not be based upon those standards of our culture or society. We seek to get approval from men. But instead, we are to find our security in Christ. That our identity is not in getting approval and applause from men, but yet getting applause and approval from God. And although we are Christian, we still have a choice to make. Choose the old way or the new way. Of course, it doesn't make any sense to go back into bondage. Because we have a new nature before us, as we have just read in Scripture. We're a new creation. We are to consider what God has to say and what pleases God more than necessary our culture or society have to say. What is acceptable before God, not what is acceptable before man. May we ask God to help us to be Christian first, and Chinese or American second. Instead of playing unrealistic standards upon ourselves, as well as upon others that are around us, God says that we are to be realistic based upon our unique gifts and ability, how He shaped us. Instead of avoiding conflict, God wants us to speak the truth in love. Instead of being proud of ourselves, we are to be proud of all that God has done and given to us. Instead of being respectful for a selective group of people, we are to be respectful to everyone. Instead of being insensitive to the feelings of others, we are to be sensitive to all. Instead of only being selective in listening at certain times, we are to consider what others have to say and be a good listener at all times. And may we find our identity in Christ, not in man. Because we will be secured in Christ. And the reason why is because God values us. God accepts us. Remember that He will not love us any less. Even when we disappoint Him. Even when we disappoint God, God's not going to love us any less. He doesn't change. That's why we can still find our security in Him. Let's base our identity, our self-worth, our significance upon men that goes up and down. And when we do that, we become a slave to them. You understand that God accepts us and loves us fully. And because of that, Paul challenges us in verse 15, and I'll read it again. And he says, He died to all that those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Let us bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for our culture, our uniqueness, our heritage. And yet, even more importantly, we thank you for saving us and that we could be a child of God. And yes, we are influenced through upbringing at our home, in our culture, our society. But Lord, that old nature is behind us, Lord, and we don't need to continue to follow that route because it could definitely enslave us in many ways. But rather, may we recognize that we have a new nature before us. And Lord, may we not live just based upon our culture, but may we become to culture. Because we find our security in you, in you alone. We just commit ourselves to you. In Christ's name, amen.